cliffcentral.com.
You know how I know that? Because the milk in my fridge goes off on the 8th of July and I need to buy new milk. That is how our lives are regulated now. This is what we are dealing with, people. Is you know the date only because of the milk in your fridge and the horrible...
Mulelo might not be happy that that's your struggle.
Oh, yes.
I'm not saying it's my struggle, but it's the way I'm working out the calendar at the moment. Because I don't know about you, I hate going to the shops at the moment. It is an ordeal.
Yeah.
I used to like going to the shops. I used to, you know, you'd go and buy some nice stuff and, you know, you'd kind of check that your supplies were in order and that you had something cool to eat at least for one or two of the nights of the week because I'm not a great cook. And now I just loathe and despise going to the shop because you have to put on these stupid masks. You have to line up. Yesterday I had to go and buy a printer, Pumi. This is the most sexy story in the world. Okay. So I had to go and buy a printer. So I went. And I mean, I hate going to Macro. I know there are people who love going there because there were a lot of them lined up outside. And there was a queue. Now, I mean, this
to
is...
To get inside.
This is a, yeah, to get inside. This is a Monday. I mean, not a queue at the tills on your way out. I just looked at this and I thought, you know what? I'm not doing this. And I got a trolley and everything. I was waiting in the queue. And I looked at how slowly it was moving and I thought, uh-uh.
I'm not worth it.
I'm not built for this. I parked my trolley with the others at the other trolleys, and I just got back in my car and drove out of there. And I decided I'm not going to do it.
So I hated going to the shops before. Now it's so much worse. But also, because we are becoming the epicenter, the degrees of separation between me and the pandemic have significantly become less.
Right.
In the past 7 days, a friend's stepfather passed because of COVID, right. A neighbor passed because of COVID, and one other neighbor, one of my mom's friends, who's also a neighbor, is in quarantine with her daughter because of COVID. So I'm just like, I'm definitely not going outside. Literally, that ring has become so much smaller. Before it was just Zwelinkize's tweets at 9 p.m., right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's sadly going to become smaller and smaller.
Yeah. And I think we all have, well, I think most of us have come to the realization and the acceptance that at some point over the next 2 years, one is going to get this thing and one is either going to, you know, be very, very sick. Oh, by the way, Stanley Khoroge also sent a message that she's in quarantine. She's
the actress.
Yeah, day 8, I think, of her quarantine. And she's been ill, you know. So the symptoms can be severe, the symptoms can be mild, but whatever it is, I think we've all accepted that. I just don't want to be in this current wave of people that get sick, you know.
Well, a couple of other stories I want to focus us on this morning. I saw Rams Mabote, who I follow on, you know, we're friends on Facebook, and he said a friend of his contacted him yesterday, frustrated. Listen to this story. His media company has offered advertising billboards to government for free, but the offer was not taken up. It didn't make any sense to him. I helped him understand something simple. If he offers the billboards for free, then no one is going to, in inverted commas, eat. No one is going to be able to add a 500% markup and loot the coffers. So his offer, which may be good for the state, is not good for government. Hashtag state of the nation. That's Rams Mabote. Now, this is exactly the kind of thing that we just don't, you know, government don't even acknowledge that this sort of thing is the major problem. They pretend that this stuff is the rare exception. But here, for example, is one of Rams's friends who's offering free billboards. Free, and they're not being taken up because someone wants to scalp, someone wants to steal, someone wants to loot. This is
things
why
that make you go.
This is why we can't have nice things. Seriously,
this is why we don't have nice things.
Absolutely,
don't.
And this is why
nice
people like Koniswang are up against a mountain because there she is trying to get school kids back to school in Botshabelo against COSAS, but she's writing to the boss of a government that actually does not give two shits about her or her family or the other kids of Botshabelo. It's just an excuse for them to get into power. And then once they're there, that's their turn to eat, as the Rams put it.
So I was asking you last week, we've now reached a point where it's been let them eat cake from our government for 26 years. Mm-hmm. What is the appetite of the citizenry to bring out the guillotines? Because protests can no longer make these people comfortable. It's we can't protest to make guys comfortable. Are we ready to bring out the guillotines, whether literally or hypothetically? And I don't know if as a citizenry, especially us, who are pretty close to the circles of power, have the appetite to do what needs to be done.
Are you close to the circles of power?
Oh, if you live in the suburbs, you're closer than Botshabelo, whether you like it or not. Just by that. So if you, do we have the appetite to truly do something about this, or are we just going to talk about it? And to me, I have to say, I'm probably the talk about it guy. I have to be honest.
So here's what's really going to get your noodle, right, is in order to bring out those guillotines, you have to get your next-door neighbor and the neighbor next door and the neighbor next door on the same page with you. Mm-hmm. It ain't going to be about writing a letter to the president. You've got to mobilize. But that's my point about mobilizing the people closest to you. That's where the center of power is. I come from a township where you know where the councillor is, right? And if you've got a problem with that councillor, you show up with sticks and stones to his gate. You see, because in townships for a very, very long time, we were left to our own devices.
Sorry, I'm still just picturing that scene. Okay, and then
people
boulders.
People's mothers' houses have been burned down because the guy that lives here is the councillor and the mother won't let him come out to talk to the people. So the people will burn his mother's house down. You know what I'm saying? That's what bringing out the guillotines look like. You're not writing him a letter in his big office.
Right.
You show up to his door.
Exactly.
You show up to his door, but you don't show up alone. You show up with 50 people. You show up with your buddies.
Mbulelo, actually speaking, you're singing from the same hymn sheet. And
absolutely.
I do think it's becoming like that. I mean, we have increasing, and people don't talk about it anymore because it's not that sexy a story, but the service delivery protests may have gone on a slight hiatus during COVID, right? But before that, they were accelerating at a rapid pace, and people are furious. We saw that Kimi Makwetu put out he's the Auditor General, he put out his report the other day, that even more municipalities, we thought it was impossible, but even more municipalities are bankrupt and have not got clean audits, and billions has been stolen. Now, these are in the heartland of South Africa. These are not, you know, your suburbs where if a couple of million goes missing here or there, it doesn't really make that much difference to the people who live there because they have to pay their taxes anyway, and someone is going to try and skim their little bit to eat. But in a place like Botshabelo, you better believe if a couple of million goes missing, it makes a massive difference because some people don't get water. Some people don't get their street repaired. Some people don't get the housing that they've been promised. Some people don't have access to a clinic, for example. And those people in those areas, like Koneswang, are getting a little bit more than slightly pissed off. And it starts with letters. You know, it's got to start somewhere. And it will end up with people pitching up with sticks and stones. And Sia laughs, but that is how things happen.
You start by getting pissed off. You got to get pissed off. Mm-hmm. That's where you start. You've got to get pissed off. And then you've got to have, stick your courage to a sticking place. You've got to have courage. Because like just getting into a conversation is not going to work. You've got to get into the fight.
You're right. Absolutely.
Got to get into the fight and you got to be ready for it. It's not pretty. A revolution is not pretty and it's not safe.
No.
And it's not convenient.
Absolutely true. Mbulelo, you've got the WhatsApp messages there because mine, it's for some reason, it's not loading here on this side. So if you want to go through some of those, then by all means, let's go to the messages. Otherwise, I know Pumi's got some things on her agenda this morning, and I know Sia has too. So Sia
has got things on his agenda.
Yeah, Sia has quite a big thing on his agenda. He admitted in Sia, during a conference call, a meeting we had yesterday, admitted he put on a pair of jeans and he has got fat. Sia.
No. Good. And our meeting was fairly early in the morning. It was just before 10 a.m. or 10 a.m. And I could tell that I was bobbing a little. And you asked me how I was. And I thought, I'm not going to deny this any further. I was feeling not right and very tight at that point. I have gained some weight, folks. Look, I'm not about to be, I don't need a crane to get me out of the house just yet. But this is the first time in my life where I actually have a bit of a muffin top.
Uh-oh.
My 28 jeans aren't fitting anymore. There was a bit of a muffin top forming and it's not cute.
Sia, that is terrible because you were always, to us, the guy who had the magic metabolism. You ate terrible food. You ate things with sugar in them first thing in the morning. You would eat takeaways all day. You had a terrible, terrible eating agenda.
He eats chocolate.
The end is nigh, folks. I'm telling you now.
And finally, during lockdown, the pain has come to you. Now you know how
You've
the rest
been
of us
undone.
Feel.
Yeah. No, but I said I will not be beaten by this. I stuck in those jeans the whole day. I said I just have to, just for my own ego.
There are two admirable things in this entire conversation, though, right? The first one being that you squeezed yourself into the jeans to begin with, right?
Why aren't you
in those like comfy track pants? Because nobody can see the bottom half of you on a Zoom call.
I thought so now. You know, no, ever since easily a month ago, I've started this good routine and that's working for me at home. Once I'm up in the morning, I make up, I do the bed and I don't go back into bed up until it's time to sleep. And I always either work from this desk here or I'm sitting on the couch, but I always have to at least get dressed.
Sit upright.
Yeah, now I'm like, let me not lose the plot. So that's kind of what I'm gunning for. Look, man, it's more than just a meme and a joke. I'm realizing, wear those jeans, man.
So are you the muffin top guy now? Is that who you are?
Mbulela, because everything with me is a little more fabulous. Let's call it a little macaroon top.
Revolting. Let me just tell you.
A macaroon looks a little better. It's a macaroon top.
That's so awful. Ugh.
It's revolting. A muffin top is revolting at 25 years old. I have no time for it.
I will have to be honest. I ordered some pasta for lunch yesterday. I thought, okay, let me just drown my sorrows in pasta.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Are you ordering in food?
Yeah, look, you have to find your little pleasures. And I was actually counting down because my dad also does a daily countdown and realized that I haven't been out of the house in 6 days.
What? So are you going to go from muffin top to pizza top by next week? Just pack it on there, Sia. Just sit down and pack it on.
Okay, let's just all stop piling on Sia because I will raise my hand and say that since they made deliveries available to us after level 4 ended, I have enjoyed more than once ordering pizza. Okay?
I've done that a couple of times.
I've not been ashamed about it. I'm admitting it now. I've not packed on remorselessly the kilos, but it's a nice indulgence. And you know, the fact is, when we're all in lockdown like we are, even a visit from the pizza delivery person feels like an occasion.
I will admit how pitiful and pathetic it looks, though. I'm like, if someone were to see me, I'm like hunched over, just staring at my screen as I'm monitoring the guy on this motorbike driving.
It's terrible.
To froth at the mouth.
It's very stupid, right?
System. I don't know what you order from and who you order from, but the people that I order from have such a system in how they deliver. They will call me as they're walking up the stairs and they won't even come up to the door anymore.
They leave the thing at the bottom of the stairs. Yeah.
They leave it at the bottom of the stairs and they call me. I open the door and they'll instruct me. It's, you know, in action movies when there's like the bomb squad called in and they are given instructions on how to defuse a bomb. That's, I feel like I'm Tom Cruise in a movie. They're like, slowly open the bag. I'm like, okay, sure. They're like, take out the sanitizer, spray it. I'm like, okay, sure. They're like, now you can remove the food. I'm like, thanks for my little paneer korma from next door.
So I have definitely not brought in a takeout that.
You're a bit soft. We just need you to pump up your volume on that side a little bit.
I'm just saying, so I haven't ordered takeout because I'm a little paranoid about who touches this food, who touches it in the packet. So even as they didn't say to you, Sia, take out the sanitizer, do you know if they were sanitizing themselves like they were packing food, just cooking my own food? Cooking my own food, carrying on, level 5 levels here.
I could care less. Bring on the COVID. I need a pizza.
Yeah. I need some pasta. I need some curry. There's just certain things. I don't know. I think now after such a while of dealing with this whole situation, it's either people are becoming, I think, naturally lax or super, super paranoid. I know now at home, my mother has become that person who's becoming even more paranoid. She has instituted everyone who goes out to come home and throw their things straight into the wash, not even in the laundry basket, but they must be washed as soon as people come back. I think that's a little drastic, but hey, to each their own.
Yeah, there's no...
Because the circles are closing in.
But that's the point. It's like you do your thing and respect other people's reasons for doing their thing. I'm not going to stop ordering stuff. And in fact, I like the idea of not having to go to the shops again. If I can order things online, I'm never going to the shops ever again in my life.
True.
This is forced me to do that.
So are you getting your printer online?
That's exactly what I'm going to do. And the other thing that's cool about it is that I can order the food, and I'm not worried about them having sanitized it or sealed it. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
I'm not paranoid about the virus, but I do like some of the adjustments it's made to my life. I'm allowed to have both, right? At speaking with forked tongue.
Can I bring up an Oprah story?
Oprah, of course you must bring up an Oprah story.
We haven't heard an Oprah story in a while.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I do try to refrain from the obvious.
How many pizzas has she ordered during lockdown? Can you imagine that fucking...
She didn't need lockdown.
Lockdown in Oprah's house.
She's got an underground tunnel straight from Pizza Hut to her house.
Stop.
Uninterrupted.
You guys are so horrible. And I'm only bringing it up because it pertains to how paranoid some people are. So, you know, lockdown just has levels, excuse the pun, when you are rich and famous. Right now, Oprah's best friend, Gail, lives in New York and she lives alone. Her kids are out of the nest. So she has been locked down all alone and she's been complaining about it. So Oprah then offered, she says, well, you know what? You can actually come and, you know, live with us, because of course she lives in the whole estate called the Promised Land. There's space galore. But it is so funny right now to see Gail, who is in self-isolation for 2 weeks in the guest house before Oprah gives her access into the main house. So Gail posts all of these videos on Instagram of saying, oh, well, you know, I was going to order avocados online, but Oprah said I can go into the avocado orchard. I'm like, rich people, shut up, okay?
The avocado orchard.
We are trying to panic about whether or not to go to Pick and Pay. You are saying, oh, well, she gave me access to go to the west wing of the property to the avocado orchard. Like, damn you, rich people.
Wow. And she's flaunting it. She's like, she's rubbing your face in it.
And there was another video Gail posted. She's on a golf cart because she was going to drive to the main house and just wave at Oprah at the door. And that's it. She was just driving in a golf
because
cart.
Because Oprah's estate is so enormous, you need a golf cart to go from the Gail cottage to the Oprah main house, to the mansion.
No,
Yes, Oprah needs a golf cart to go to the bathroom.
Or you might sweat.
She's a big skin girl.
For the stop it, Mulelo.
Mulelo, I love this. Oprah stop has a it. Tunnel to Pizza Hut.
Uninterrupted. Just Gail, don't forget the toppings. Extra toppings, babe. Love you.
For the 4th of July, of course, they needed to have some sort of celebrations. And so Oprah decided to have two separate catering teams, one for everyone in the main house and then a catering team for Gail on the other side. I'm
like, in the pole house.
Everyone in the main house? It's just Oprah and Stedman. Everyone in the main house?
It's Oprah, Stedman, and then they have two of her girls from the school who are staying with them.
Have they got them as indentured laborers? What's the story there?
Look, I mean, I'm not going to name and shame. We had a South African, very rich person. We all know who they are, but I'm not going to name and shame. She was tweeting about how horrible it was that, you know, she now has 8 staff members who have tested positive for the virus. All I was thinking is, how many staff members do you ordinarily have who are still working?
Tell us who it is. Who is that?
That's Carolyn Stein.
She's got 8 staff members. She lives in that huge big house. Now, this is where it's better to not have a huge big house.
I'm quiet.
I know. It's better that right now, if I had, because like cooking and cleaning, guys, it's my portion in life right now. I'm like,
Yeah, how much of your day?
How many people are working for you if you have 8 who have tested positive?
Yeah, you've probably got 203, and those 8, you know, because if you consider that COVID is at this stage, what the infection rate's 2-4% in the world.
Mm.
So if 8 people is 2-4% of Carolyn Stein's staff component.
Anyway. Twitter, work it out.
Yeah, between her and Oprah, it must be nice. Must be nice. Okay, just quickly, because we've plugged So What Now, which is on tomorrow night on ENCA. We've got some great guests lined up, including, I mentioned this on Twitter yesterday, Vusi Tembekwayo, which is very, very exciting. And I'm really excited to have the show ready for you tomorrow. It's going to be great. And then Bulelo's got a show, which he wants to tell you about. And you had an interesting all-rounder on last night. Tell us how that went.
Yeah, we had Alan Dawson, former Protea, which was awesome.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy. Hardcore guy, hardcore cricketer. And then tonight, Sevens coach Paul Delport. So that's live on Cliff Central Sport YouTube.
Excellent. That is on this evening. Sounds great. All right. While we're plugging anything, Pumi, you want to plug something? Pumi would love a tunnel to Pizza Hut if anyone is digging at them.
No, I don't. Yeah. I make my own pizza.
Yeah, hey, we don't have an update on the guy who tunneled into that liquor store during lockdown, actually.
Well, of course, because there's no update because we still don't know who it is. We still don't know who it was, but that was a hell of a move. That was a clever move.
It was just desperate man.
I read an amazing story during lockdown. I can't remember when, probably in the first week or two, when I was still going through my list of these are the things I'm going to achieve during lockdown. You know, it was all full of ideas. And I read the story about this dude who was in a Brazilian jail and he tunneled from his cell. It took him like 4 years and he tunneled straight into the guard room.
Well,
oh no.
Yes.
Come on now.
4 years later, he tunnels straight into the guard room and gets arrested again.
Oh no.
What the heck did you think was going to happen?
He obviously didn't see Prison Break. You need a brother outside who's a.
Hey guys, you hear that noise? You hear that noise? That noise is when someone joins the conversation, right? And it really sounds
so polite.
But it sounds like someone's doorbell's just rung.
Yes.
It's like your doorbell's just gone and then there's someone new in the conversation. I love that. That's one thing about this whole new way of doing broadcasting that I like. It's ding-dong and then someone's suddenly in the room with you.
Hello, welcome.
So let's welcome Philip. Philip Kutzer is the owner and dealer principal at DeWitt Motors. Now, let me tell you about this because otherwise, you're going to wonder why the hell we're talking to him. First of all, DeWitt Motors is in Ermelo. You know where that is, Pumi?
Yeah.
Mpumalanga. So Philip got hold of me because He listens to the show, and he was sick to death of hearing me talk about how I hate my car. You know, I've been moaning about my car for, what, 3 years now? Right?
Yes. Yeah. Morning, all. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Morning, Philip. So you got tired of this. You decided to get in contact with me, which you did, just to shut me up, basically.
Well, that's right. Yeah. I mean, I think you are a... overall a well-informed human being, but my personal view is that you're not a petrolhead. So
no.
I thought, well, let's just show you what's out there and what's available, and maybe give you a good ride and see what you think about it. Yeah.
So Philip, sorry, someone just sent me a message about Peter. So Philip, you said to me when we first met the other day, and it was during lockdown, and you guys have been doing some business. I mean, we've got George Meany on every week, and he tells us how people are still interested in buying, selling cars during the lockdown. And you guys run a really impressive dealership out in Ermelo, and you do have clients in Pretoria and Johannesburg, for example. You have clients all over. Some of these people have been clients of yours for years, right? And you sell mostly Mercedes-Benz cars, but you sell a bunch of others too. You've got Hyundai in there. And I mean, just give me the background of like the dealership and also what life is like in Ermelo and how you got involved.
Sure. Yeah, well, I mean, so it's a family business. De Witt Motors, yeah, that's from my mom's side. Her maiden name is De Witt. So it comes sort of started by my grandfather and grandmother. And yes, and it was my dad and uncle, and today it's me and my brother. So we're basically the third generation. And yes, I mean, Ermelo is a little bit out there in the sticks, but I mean, I think from an affordability point of view, rental, so forth, and the logistical point where the town is great for business. So yeah.
And you do spend a lot of time in the car because you're driving around a lot, and you find yourself often in Gauteng and in Nelspruit and all over the rest of the country. So you spend a lot of time behind the wheel of a car. And I mean, it's your family business, so you would know a lot about this. So tell me a bit about your own life and kind of how you – because if you don't – I mean, it's fortunate you do love cars and you know a huge amount about them. And you've already spent some time telling me about cars because I know nothing. But – it would have been a real problem if you'd grown up and you hated cars, right? You wouldn't have known.
Yes.
I mean, that would have been nasty. That would have been like if Sia, for example, you know, he grew up and he didn't know how fabulous, you know, fashion and celebrity and
of course
Oprah Winfrey were. That would be a disaster.
And muffin
naturally. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. No, that would have been a deal breaker. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm very fortunate that that was the case. Exactly, yeah.
All right, so tell me a little bit about what you want to do here, because you came to me and you said, look, let me take this car off your hands and you'll sell it because you've got a dealership, so you would know more about that than me. And you're going to give me a car to drive, and then we're going to talk about that car. So for this week, this week, for example, I'm going to be driving a very, very impressive car. Do you want to tell everybody what it is, and then I'll describe what my experience has been, and we'll get into this so that everybody can learn along the way with me. It's not just me. And maybe we come out of this a little smarter, because a lot of us are thinking about changing the way that we drive around, what we drive around, where we go, all that kind of thing since lockdown. So it's time to reevaluate.
Wonderful. Okay. So Gareth, at the moment you're driving a GLC 300 diesel coupe facelift. Okay, just commenting on the facelift side, I mean, it's almost that Sia alluded to earlier on the conversation. I mean, you spend your money and you don't want people to take it back, spin on the facelift. So that's
a facelift might not be such a bad idea at my age.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, so this is a diesel car, which is a good thing you mentioned it now, because I have to go and fill it up today. So thank God you said that, or I would have put in the wrong fuel. But this GLC, I mean, it's a really beautiful vehicle compared to a lot of the cars that I've been in. Technologically, these things are so impressive on the inside. I mean, I've got my phone, and I plug my phone in, Pumi, and it's got this thing called Apple CarPlay, which takes over. And it's got the screen, which is, it's not one of those screens, you get those touch screens like I had in my old car, which you have to press hard and you worry you're going to break the screen. This thing is as responsive as my phone. And it communicates with my phone. And I, the best thing is I've got Siri. I can talk to Siri and then Siri does things. But I can go, hey, Mercedes, and the car actually listens to me, just like Siri, and does things.
Exactly, yeah.
That's like,
yeah, the MBUX is the new system that's basically the, on the tech side of the vehicle, which looks after what you just mentioned, like your Mercedes, hey, Mercedes, and also Apple CarPlay. Right, also compatible with Android phones. So yes, I mean, as soon as you plug in your phone, your car becomes your phone.
It's phenomenal.
So you can do Waze, you can do Google Maps, and you know, basically so everything.
I was thinking about how technologically advanced cars that they're making right now are compared to the most expensive car on the market 5 to 10 years ago. You know, you would have paid maybe 4 times the price for a car now that is so advanced. I mean, this is a hell of a vehicle you've given me now, but even cheaper versions of the same technology exist in some of the other models.
And, absolutely.
And it's just amazing. Like it monitors the tire pressure, Pumi. It tells you when you're close to other things. It can even park itself.
Listen here, that GLC is, so what you don't know about when I went to buy a new car is I looked at, or because I wanted an SUV type car.
Mm-hmm.
And the GLC was one of the cars that I looked at because it does compare with the Q3 and it compares with the X3, right? It's in that same range. Oh, but what a thing. Mercedes-Benz, guys. Mercedes-Benz is actually the luxury of luxuries, I think. It's when I think about cars and I think about luxury living in a car, luxury that you can afford. Yeah, man, the GLC is the thing, and it's the entry. If you want an SUV, it's where you start. You know, if you can afford it, that's where you start, and then you go up from there. You go to the GLE eventually.
Is that right?
Eventually,
is Pumi making sense to you? Phil, you're busy shaking your head in the right direction there. You're agreeing with Pumi.
No.
I wouldn't know if she was talking nonsense, you see.
No. Pumi just became a new brand ambassador for us. So, yeah, welcome. Welcome, Pumi. Thank you. Yeah.
By the end of this call, Phil's going to be giving Pumi and I a car for a week. So, all right. So what we'll do is we'll talk about this car this week, and we'll just give people some insights into it. Who is the target market for this car? Is it Pumi? She's a mom. She's got Canejo Jules of Rio. It's got lots of space in the car, in the boot. It's a safe car. Is that the car?
On road, off road.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Go anywhere. It's the go anywhere.
I'm very happy, Pumi, that you mentioned on-road and off-road, because, I mean, all those vehicles, your SUVs these days are 4MATIC vehicles, which means that they're fully 4x4 capable. It's just a shame. I mean, I think it's close to 1% of people that will actually use all those 4x4 systems that's come standard in the car. And, well, 99% will say, no, I feel too bad taking this car off-road. So, yes, absolutely. It's a very capable 4x4 vehicle. To answer your question on who would drive the car, I mean, I think it's a versatile vehicle. Your soccer mom will look absolutely fantastic in it. But I mean, there's other vehicles I think that would be more appropriate to them. So we've got a rule here. I mean, if you've got more than 3 kids, buy a bus. Because that's the most
wow!
It's true story, guys. You imagine driving anywhere with 4 kids and everybody's got their like luggage. If you're going to the South Coast, right? Everybody's got their luggage. Then you need the V-Bus. Yes. You're not just like
It's a bus or a trailer. You can decide. Yes.
All right. So, I mean, you guys are based out in Ermelo. Now, there might be people listening all over the country, but, you know, you can go anywhere you want to buy a car. You don't have to go to the place just down the road. They might not even have the best people or the best deal or even the insights that Phil does, for example. So we're going to be talking to Phil over the course of the next couple of weeks, and we'll get to know him and we'll get to know the people at his dealership and the kinds of cars that he supplies as well. And if you need to get hold of him, you can go to info at Dewits, that's dewits.co.za. And he will hopefully be able to give you advice too, because this is how you make yourself smarter. Now, have you noticed during this time, Phil, I mean, you're obviously dealing with people who are selling and buying cars all the time. What are people doing during lockdown from your experience?
Well, you mean from a customer point of view and what we're dealing with?
People, because their driving arrangements may have changed quite a lot during lockdown. They may be thinking of downgrading, upgrading. They might be buying a new car. They might be selling things. What's going on?
Interesting question. Yeah, I mean, so I think generally all over the automotive business, June was a good month. Obviously, April for majority of the dealers, the number of cars sold was zero.
Yeah.
So with all the expenses still there. So I think I don't know if June was a month that we caught up for April and May. Or is it just a great month? I mean, people say splurge a little bit on a car, or well, I don't know. I mean, maybe people say, "Listen, I'm not going to buy a new car now because let's save up for the next lockdown." We don't know. So, but there are still people that are buying cars and not cheap vehicles. I mean, it goes to 1 million, 2 million, 3 million on the vehicles that we've only sold in the month of June.
Phenomenal.
So it's interesting. It's all over. Yeah, you can't put your finger on anything at the moment. So it's interesting.
Well, you might be interested to know that when Wuhan opened up a couple of weeks ago, when they started opening up, and you know, Wuhan is like the transport hub in China, in that part of China, one of the first industries that did actually ramp up very quickly was the automotive, because more and more people went to buy cars rather than be in the public transport system, because you're safer when you're in your own car, right?
That's an interesting point. I never thought of that.
So that was...
Yeah, so the China market, if we specifically go and look at Mercedes-Benz, I mean, it went down all the way to the bottom, and it just made a V-shape. And they're even stronger now than they were before lockdown. I mean, the Chinese people are just buying more cars now when was it? January, February. China is international.
I just want to mention quickly, because you're not going to say this about yourself. You guys are quite humble. But you have won 15 Dealer of the Year awards, numerous excellence awards, and continue to strive for exceptional service in all that you do. It's an amazing dealership you got running over there. And Phil, you know what? I'm really pleased you got hold of me, because now we can have honest conversations about these things. And I will stop my moaning and bitching and whining, because today I've got to go and record the TV show, and I'm really excited to get in the car, which is not the case, you know, a couple of weeks ago, where I was miserable about having to get into that thing that I drove. Now it feels like a luxurious adventure. It's very cool. And I'm pleased that we're in touch. Yeah. And we will be talking to you again in a couple of weeks' time. That's Phil Kutzer. You can look forward to hearing more from him, and we'll talk through a couple of these cars, and hopefully we all learn along the way. Yes, Sia?
Phil, I just have one very important, pertinent question to ask. About the GLC, do you think it is a fabulous car for your boss to pick you up in and take you out on a spin? And, you know, I'm just thinking and just asking hypothetically, think if your boss was hypothetically driving one, they should be picking you up in this one?
If you, I don't know, Sia, would you like to sit in the front or in the back? So let's start there.
That's all.
All right, very good. Phil, nice to talk to you, man. We'll speak soon. And
thanks, guys.
Yeah, all right. What's it like in Ermelo today? Is it colder or warmer than here?
It's cold. I mean, mornings are quite chilly. It's around about 1-2, and then it gets up to like low 20s. So we can survive now. Like 2 weeks ago, I think it's more or less the same as Joey's, which is unbearable. So yeah, we're better off now.
All right. And how many kilometers do you travel in an average month?
Well, yeah, it differs. I mean, I think if you take the total amount of staff, it's going to be tens of thousands. So, I mean, but at the moment, I mean, there's still some restrictions on borders and so forth.
Yeah.
It makes it a little bit difficult. But yes, yeah. I mean, I will happily come and visit you guys and put on some more kilometers.
Yeah, we'll get you in the studio when we're back in the studio eventually one day too. So thank you very much, Phil. We can give you all the info. It'll all be on cliffcentral.com, and you can find out more about what they've got there. They also have Mitsubishi. They've got Hyundai, and we'll tell you more about DeWitt Motors as we go through the next couple of weeks. Thanks, Phil. Nice to see you.
Thank you very much.
That is some useful stuff for us all to learn.
Mm. Thank you very much.
Right.
Can I tell you one useless thing about the GL series?
Yes.
So, you know, for the German, the G-Wagen, right?
The
Geländewagen. The reason why Mercedes-Benz started naming all of their SUVs, remember they had the ML. And that's what the now GL E is, I think. But that's what the GL is for. It's Geländewagen Leicht. It's the light version of the Geländewagen, right? So GLA being the very first one in the very entry, GLA, like an X1.
You see, Phil, this is where people like Pumi, who have a German school education, bring out her knowledge in subtle ways. She knows, she actually knows what the GLC stands for. Very good. All right, very good. Good stuff.
Wonderful.
So, thanks, Phil. What's on everybody's agenda for today? What are you doing, Pums, now that Kanejo's off to school?
Well, I have a little bit of work, but sometime during this day, I have to make it out to the bottle store to buy some bubbly, because tomorrow I'm taking the day off and I'm going to drink champagne.
It's your, and you're turning 31.
It is your birthday, Pums.
41.
And you're proud of it.
Absolutely. I've earned all 41 years of my experience, damn it.
Exactly. I love it.
I'll tell you when I get there in 30 years' time.
Sia's going to record the TV show with me, and then he's going to go home and he's going to do exercise to get rid of his muffin tops.
Yeah, I'll probably walk to the studio just so that.
So you mean I won't have to pick you up in the car like you just tried to strong-arm me into?
I need to get some steps in. It's a little bad.
See, play it out for me. Because this new Mzimba body that you're releasing or some, are you thinking
further crush my ego? But
No. Because some people kind of like that, you know? You could be Utsedi for someone by December. You know, just to rub the tummy. If you go to the East, they'll rub it for good luck.
Sia's out here looking for Utsedi.
Yeah, I am looking. I can't be anyone's zaddy. Oh,
God.
I myself need to do some crunches and think it all out. No, but I think the more I stick to tight pants, the more I'll have to lose weight and take care of myself.
Good stuff.
Oh, Sia, there's an app for that.
There's an app for everything. Yeah. See, just hop on there and you'll be able to find some exercise regimen. I'm doing this. It's not really what Ben did, but I found this 24-day ab challenge, which I'm going to be doing. I'm going to try that.
Do you have to change your eating for it? Or is it just only
the... You want to lose abs?
Yeah.
So there's no secret. There's no exercise. Food. You eat carbs, you will never lose your tummy. So I don't care don't let any trainer tell you, hey, but I can get you in your 42 days, 24 days, I'll get you a six pack. Nonsense. Stop eating carbs.
All right.
Off the bread, off the nonsense.
Off
and
the beer.
That's half the battle. Yeah, hey, eat beer.
I want to cut that clip out and use it as my alarm in the morning.
Yeah.
Just what Mbulelo said.
No carbs every day.
No carbs.
That means I've also got to cut out Oprah's pizzeria.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Gotta keep Gail out that tunnel.
Get my mother's name out of your filthy mouth, please.
All right, everybody. Gosh. Have a happy day. We will catch up with you tomorrow morning. Pumi, enjoy your birthday tomorrow. I know it's going to be a beautiful day. Pumi's turning 41, and we are all excited for her. And I'm sorry that under lockdown we can't all celebrate with you, but I know you'll find a way of making it count. And Sia, yes, good luck with your new exercises. You're going to do those old man side crunches to get rid of the muffin tops.
Wow.
Very exciting.
It's a macaroon top.
Yes. So if Sia doesn't appear on the TV show for many more months, you'll know why. He may be the producer, but he's keeping himself away from the cameras until he's in perfect shape.
I don't even want my silhouette in the background.
See, yeah, there are a lot of people who are going to roll out of their houses when lockdown is finally over. Roll. Trust me, it's not just you.
Oh, this is horrible.
Some people might not even be able to fit through their front door when the lockdown eventually gets called off.
Them and all their chins.
Yes.
They might have to go to Phil and buy a new car to fit all their chins.
Shock and horror.
Oh my God. You know, there's always room for a fat joke, huh?
There really is.
Speaking of which, tomorrow, Gord Laws.
Wow.
Very excited about that. It's going to be good. It's always good. It's always fun.
I did not partake in that.
Wow.
If you want to join in our huge, just what do you call it, a dumpster fire of insults that we're throwing around this morning, then you can do so. And we will get to all your messages. I'm sorry I had a problem reading them this morning, 0797482090. I'll get to them tomorrow too. And you can always email us, gareth@cliffcentral.com. All right, have a happy day.
Cliffcentral.com.